for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Wednesday afternoon service of December the 28th, 1994, of the Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. The Coffees are the speakers for the afternoon.
Our Father, we pray right now that the words that I say, the words I speak, will be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. I pray for that strength and the redeeming virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. I stand in an awesome place right now. I'm following some teaching that has been marvelous teaching, and marvelous word has come forth. But I've been here, I've come up, and I've had to walk up and take Bill's place, so to speak. I'm not taking his place. I can't take Bill's place. I'll not apologize for my singing. I sing unto the Lord. I make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and that's what I do. I'm not a singer, as you've already discovered, and I'm not apologizing for the sounds that I make. And if I say anything that is not of the Lord, I pray that the Lord will wipe it immediately out of your memory, that it'll never be received and stay there at all. But if I speak the word of the Lord, I pray right now that the word of the Lord will find residence in you and bear fruit down in your spirit, and that it will bring life. That's what the word does. It brings life. So we're going to go through some teaching that I feel like will truly bring life to your body. It will bring deliverance. It will set you free. It'll also set you on fire. Because the Word always does this. And I want this word to do a special work as we bring it today. Mildred talked yesterday, I don't know what day it is. She talked one morning here. And this is not a series by any means, but we're talking on the same theme. Because the Lord has been giving to Mildred a theme on the soul and of the importance of maintaining your soul. And if you'll receive it, you don't have all your soul. And I doubt if there's anyone sitting in the sound of my voice that has all of their soul. Now, you might not agree with me, but don't cast all this out until you ask the Lord about this and when you know what's going on. And I'm not going to teach on. Mildred said something about it, and I think Glenn said something about the fragmented soul. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do on soul ties. And I'm going to enlighten you on soul ties. I'm going to go through the Scriptures and show you what the Scripture says about soul ties. We get in bondage in so many different ways. We readily recognize if somebody places a curse and a demon hits us and does damage to us and harasses us and slows us down or looses confusion in the mind. Something like this we would readily recognize. But just the thought of being tied to another human being that would drain from you, the mind wants to reject this thought for some reason or another. And yet God has a lot to say about it, as you will see from the Scripture. And these ties that we have is in effect a form of witchcraft, because they're drawing on you and they're trying to many times control you and to move through you or take from you. My wife talks many times about how all of a sudden she began to lose much of the teaching she had, and one of the women in our church all of a sudden was speaking the teaching that she had learned and had been teaching on, but yet she had lost it. And she recognized the fact that she had a real close soul tie from having ministered to this woman over a long period of time. And all of a sudden, this thing began to pull out of her, to take out of her. Unreasonable, isn't it? Unreal. Can't happen, can it? Well, we'll see. We'll see about that. Turn with me to 1 Samuel. We'll show you some where these ties are in 1 Samuel in the 18th chapter, and how the enemy uses these to work against you, to weaken you, so that he can gain control of you. 1 Samuel 18, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." And through close relationship, we form ties with people. Now, this is not a harmful tie. This is a tie of love and compassion, because his soul reached out to him and he treated him as his very own, like I would myself. Like it goes over in the New Testament and talks about how we are to give of ourselves and we're to esteem others higher than ourselves. Well, that's what Jonathan had with David, was a tie like this. And Jonathan would give himself rather than harm David. And he did. He put himself in a very precarious situation with his father by freeing David from his father's wrath and anger and the death that his father had loosed on him. And he got David free. And he jeopardized his own life because of a soul tie with his friend David. Now, these are good things, and these I want to show you the good. Now, when it talks of a soul tie, how his soul was knit. Now, here's where we come in to know what when we say soul tie. That word knit, if you'll look that up, it means to tie or to join or to bind up. Now, his soul was tied to David or bound to David. I have a soul tie with this pretty young thing over here. It's a good soul tie. It's been there for years, because we have been together and we have come to exalt other more than self because of the love that God has placed there. And that's a good soul tie, you see. And we would give of ourselves before we would take from the other. Now that's what God, how He deals with His people. God wants to give unto you. In the same manner, but between people, you get tied to people. And I want you to know that not everything is evil that we're talking about in all of this, but there are ties that we need to make. And we make ties in so many different places, in so many different ways. Over in 1 Samuel 20, while we're right in this area, in verse 17 it says, "And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul." Loved his own soul. So he equaled David with himself. And there was no difference. So therefore, they were knit together as one. And when Saul, his father, Jonathan's father, decided he had to kill David because he was jealous of what David, his victory, then Jonathan moved him out of the way and got him free from it. So this is what the love of a good soul tie will do in the case of friends. Now, if you'll go with me to Genesis to the 44th chapter. First in verse 20. "And we said unto my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him." Now, to the background, I'll not read all that because it's a long story, and you know it. This is Joseph's brothers who have come to receive grain from him down in Egypt. Somebody talked about how Brother Moore talked about the obeisance the moon, sun, and stars did obeisance to David. I mean to Joseph, and now they're doing it. It's coming to pass. They're down in Egypt and they're begging, they're pleading, and they come for corn for the very sustenance of life there to keep them alive. There's famine in the land, and they've come down, and they're telling of Benjamin, the youngest, left back in the land, and the rest of the brothers, there were 12, Joseph is one, Benjamin's the other, so there's 10 of them down there. And they're telling of the land, and Joseph is being hard with them just to test them, I think, just to see where they're going. Of course, he knows that he's going to feed them. But he acts like he's not going to give them corn at first, and they tell of their father and the love, and he says he has to bring this younger brother. They have to bring him. And he's just putting him to test. to them. Now, the love that the Father had for the Son and for the Son for the Father is a soul tie. Jacob loved Benjamin. He loved him so bad that he would not release him because he had lost, at least he thought he had lost his son Joseph, and he held on to the youngest, which was the child of his old age, and it was from the one that he loved, it was the child from the one that he truly loved, and he could not bear the thought of parting with this youngest one. So therefore, this tie was a very strong tie between Jacob and Benjamin. And in this verse 30 of the same chapter, "Now therefore, when I come to the servant, to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life." And that's what they're telling Joseph, that Jacob's life is bound up, knit, tied. There's a soul tie in the Father to the Son, and it's a good tie. And this happens so often in the story of, and we don't like to use that word, of the prodigal son. You know, the father welcomes home the prodigal son. He has a tie for this boy here. He also has a tie for the one that stayed. He's in love with that boy too, but the one when he's been missing, he has a close tie with this one, and it's good. And he, what does he do? He provides a ring for his finger, a clothing for his body, and shoes for his feet, and kills a fatted calf because of this great love that he has for his son, this tie that he has for this son. So his life is bound. And a soul tie here also, so there's another good soul tie. In the Deuteronomy, 10th chapter, verse 20, Moses speaking here, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name." The Lord has restored the tablets that Moses broke because of the disobedience and the children getting off into fornication and rioting and wild partying and rebellion against Moses. And God has restored them, and Moses is telling them that they must form a soul tie just as you and I need to form a soul tie with our Lord. Now, we know about, I've told you about the ones between people on earth, but we need one with the Lord, because that's what he's saying here, "Thou shalt cleave." And when we look up that word there, cleave, it means to adhere to be joined together, to stick or to take. And I love to dig into these words because it explains God and his thoughts. When we open up the original language that it came from, you can only translate into English into one word. And so many times it does not cover the thought that God had. So I need to go back into the word and see how it was truly translated and the way it was translated and the true meaning of this word. And I see so much, and all they could say was that they cleave and swear by his name. But did you realize that we must stick to it? Stick to it. Oh, be joined to it, to join together with it. And to take that name. Take it. Oh, praise God. We take the name. We take the name of the Lord. When I see that right there, I have to take a little side trip. We as Christians, if I say, how many Christians we got here, everybody will hold up a hand. How many believers we got here? Everybody will hold up a hand. What does the word believe mean? Well, the word believe in the Bible is not the word believe that you use every day. Did you know that? It has more meaning than the one that we read in the Bible. It's a different word. And if you really want to know, get you an amplified Bible, and when it says believe, look what it says around it. It says adhere to, rely on, and walk in it. And that's where I keep telling my people, if you believe, you're going to walk in it. Yeah. If you're a believer, you're going to walk in it. You're a changed person. And you're going to take this word and you're going to dig it out and you're going to walk in it. Nobody's going to have to force you. And you know, it's not a burden. We keep thinking, well, I just can't find time to do all this. It's too much problem for me to get into it. Do you know God provides everything that you have? When he ordains a thing, He provides everything necessary for that ordination to go forth, then to supply every need that is there. And if He says for you to get in the Word, He's going to give you the time and open your mind to receive it. If you'll ask Him, Father, show me what you're really saying in your Word today. I'll take the time to read it. I'll take time to, if I miss it the first time, I'll go over it again. I'll dig into it the second time. If I don't get it the second time, I'll read it the third. And if I don't get it the third time, I'm going to read it the fourth. And we're going to get it out of here regardless of how long it takes. And when He sees that you're serious, He's going to start opening this Word to you, and He's going to fill you with so much Word you'll never realize how much there was in this Word. And do you know you can take it and read it today and then turn around and read that same scripture tomorrow and you get a complete new picture. Doesn't change it. Doesn't change from what you had. But you see the other side. I say it this way. I used to go down to my home in Carolina. When I did, I'd pass through Atlanta, Georgia. When I go down that highway around Atlanta, Georgia before the expressway, I go out by Stone Mountain. And when you come to Stone Mountain, when you look at that thing coming out of Atlanta, it's nothing but a little old hill like any of these hills around here. Got pine trees all over it. Goes up, 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 not real high. I mean, it's pretty high, but not all that high. And you don't notice it at all. But when you walk, drive around the other side and look back up at the side of that hill there, it's a solid, sheer rock. And in the face of that rock is Robert E. Lee sitting on a horse. Now, Stone Mountain is, when you see Stone Mountain, it just depends on from what point you're looking at it to what you see. And it's the same on any other thing that you do. At what point are we looking at it from? Am I looking at this Word of God from a carnal point of view? Or am I looking at it from a spiritual point of view? And when I get the spiritual view and I say, God, You teach me by Your Word, then He's going to open this thing up to me. But if I'm going to do it with my carnal mind and say, well, you know, I'm going to read this, and I sit down and read it, when I get through, I don't remember anything I've read, and I couldn't tell you any part of it, well, that does me absolutely no good. But if I say, Father, I have need that I know this, that I may more perfectly do Your will and walk with You, and that You can have more of me, He'll move heaven and earth to supply that need. Did you know that? He will move in your behalf to do it. So we need to learn to cleave and to hear, adhere to, and to be joined to our God, as He has loved us with so great a love. It's just beyond man's imagination and thought to know the love of God. I won't try to sing the song. Don't sing it very well, but there's a song called The Love of God that just begins to touch just a little bit of it, of how He loves us. Let me see. I want to go over to the 11th chapter of Deuteronomy while we're real close there. I want to show you something here. 11:22. He says, "For you, if you shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all of His ways, and to cleave unto Him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves." Okay, what I've just said about receiving the Word, now that's true. This Word's true right here. Did you know that was really true? And He was talking about all those nations there that He was going to drive out as the children of Israel came into that land. There were seven nations, and if you'll go back to the seventh chapter, it'll name those seven nations in the very beginning of it, and I'm not going there, but He will name seven of them that are greater and mightier than you, that He's going to bring before you for you to drive out. Now, all that's true, and it happened, but they didn't drive them all out. They drove part of them out. They drove part of the nations out. They drove part of every nation out, but they didn't clean it all out like God said. They disobeyed in that they did not complete the Word that God told them to do. But I want to show you something. You go look up that word nation and see what a nation is. You know I'm going to tell you, don't you? Nations, it means a troop of animals. Yes, a troop of animals or a flight of locusts. First two things that it names, a troop of animals or a flight of locusts. It also means a foreign nation. Now, God has shown us a long time back before I ever looked any of this up, showed it to my wife, the nations. There are nations here. There are nations up here. You want to know about those seven nations? I'll tell you what they are. There are seven nations. They are fear, compromise, pride, lust, strife, deception, and depression. He named first the Hittite, and if you look the Hittite up, it's fear. He named second the Girgashite. And the meaning, if you look that up in the Strong's Concordance, is compromise. Third one was Amorite. That's pride. The fourth was the Canaanite. Lust. The fifth was the Perizzite. That's strife. The sixth was the Hivite. That's deception. And the seventh was the Jebusite, and that's depression. If you look those up in Strong's, you'll find those meanings right there in Strong's Concordance on every one of those. And God is telling us that He will produce the strength and the power within us, that as those nations present themselves in our minds and those here in us, that He will present them here for us to destroy them. Now, through evil soul ties, these things get holds on us. I didn't get out of my teaching yet. I'm still teaching on soul ties. This is the things that come in through soul ties. There are seven. Mary Magdalene, how many did he get out of her? Seven. I think those are the seven. I think that's the key seven ones. I'm not going around everybody saying, now you got to get all these seven. That's not what I do. But I think there is the seven that hold the magnitude of the demonic force. They are the seven leaders. People say, well, you talk demons all the time. You see demons everywhere you go. No, I don't see demons everywhere. Well, I see seven of them every time I turn over a rock. There's a whole family of them under there. But I don't go looking for them. They come find us. Ask Doc sometime. Doc will tell you about them. They come in his house. They set his house on fire. They do all kinds of things. I've heard Doc talk about them many times. That's the brother back there. Tommy can tell you. Tommy's taught these things also. And they're there, whether you believe it or not, whether you even want to consider it or not, they are there. What do you think stops you from serving God? Why don't you serve God like you're supposed to serve Him? You know that there is a perfect order written here that if you do it, there would be absolutely no want in the world this day. If you would follow this book, it provides for everything. You would not want for anything. Neither would anybody else if they follow the book. But we won't do it. Why? Why won't you do it if it's perfect if you do? Something stops you. Where does it stop you? The playground. Their playground right up here is why you don't serve God the way you want to. You want to do it. It's not that you don't want to serve God. There is something deep down in. It started way back yonder in a garden. There was a hole left in man when the Holy Spirit pulled out. And every time there's a hole, I know somebody that fills it. And because he gave himself over to the wrong one, it was filled with the wrong one. And we call it the carnal nature of man is what we call it. But it was the enemy that came in, and he is still working today in exactly the same manner. I'll get back to soul ties. This word nations... In the New Testament, if you want to witness to this, in Luke in the 10th chapter, verse 17, in Luke 10:17 says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I'll give you power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the nations, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, if you go out there and you walk on serpents and scorpions, what happens to you? You get stung and you get bit. Do you think he was talking about snakes and serpents with sharp tails and poison in the tail? He was talking spiritually. This spiritual book. He was speaking spiritually of those things that truly bite and sting and will kill you. They will bring death. And they will also bring, as a scorpion, discomfort. And that's the devil and his demons is what he's talking about here. What did he say? He just get through saying, the devils are subject to me. And so he was talking of demons and the power of Satan. He said, I saw Satan fall. I mean, he came down just like lightning. In a flash, he came down. Why? Because some believers went out. True believers. Not what you say believe. Adhere to, rely on, and walk in the Word of God. and they were out there doing the Word of God. Do you ever try to cast out a demon? Anybody ever try to cast out a demon here? Yeah, I see, You always cast them out? You know why you didn't get them out? You tried. Yes, you tried. You do it by trusting in God. I don't cast out demons. I speak them. God does the casting out, you see. He's got to use a believer. A believer, the man that believes in it and says, I know you've got to go. The Word has declared it. You have to obey the Word. He says, oh, get out of here. I don't believe that. And you just keep putting the Word on him. You put the Word on it, and he leaves. And the Word is powerful. If you don't believe it, look at those seven sons of Sceva. They didn't believe in Jesus. But they used that name of Jesus, and they manifested a demon. Now, they liked to got well, they got beat up. They liked to got killed over it. But they manifested a demon with the name of Jesus. He says, Paul I know, and Jesus I know, but who are you? And those seven boys, they just got their clothes torn off of them, and that demon just whipped seven of them. And they can do it. It doesn't take but one. I've seen 10 hold one down. And it took 10 to hold him down. They're strong. They're powerful. That's just a demon at work. But he was talking about spiritual things, and when he said nations over here, I'm sure that he was talking about the forces of the enemy as well. Oh, yes, he truly meant those seven nations that he named there, those seven people. They were filled with the devil, too. You know it? They already had those demons in them. So it balanced out. You see, he was still talking about the demon. All right, let's roll on over to Joshua, the 23rd chapter. Joshua 23, verse 11 says, take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Else if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even those that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them and go in unto them, and they unto you. And we marry a lot of things we've got no business getting anywhere close to. We get tied to them. Do you know that when he's talking here that he's talking about you go back and you cleave to these nations, do you know those things turn us back to the worldly things? When we tie ourselves with an evil, we call them evil soul ties simply because they're not of the Lord. There's only two types, just like there's only two forces in the world today. You're either serving the Lord or you're serving Satan. You say, I'm serving self. Well, if you're serving the flesh, you're serving Satan. Because the flesh, they can't please God. So there's only two forces and there's only two ties. So we tie ourselves to some things that we have no business even getting close to. And yet we do these things. And when we do, it turns us back away from serving our God and going away. We have many experiences. I'm not going through theirs. If you will stop and think, there are many of them that the children of Israel, when they were on their trek back across from Egypt, they stopped for a while and got in with some ungodly people. And there was some fornication came forth, even to the point that they openly took the women in front of everybody into the tent. And remember the plague of the Lord came down upon them? Yes, and they used the spear to pierce both the man and the woman and stop the plague. But there are many other times that God shows us this, that there's not just one place that we can turn to, that we know these things to be true, that it turns us back. Well, look at Solomon. Just think about Solomon. I think maybe I might have that in here somewhere. I'm not sure. I'll use it right now, though, just in case. Solomon had many, many women. But he had women from foreign nations that served foreign gods, and they turned Solomon's heart. Solomon was the son of David. And it was promised David that his descendants would always reign there as long as they would follow God. But you know, Solomon didn't follow after God in the end. He even brought the abomination right into the temple. How many abominations do we bring into the temple today? And we do it because we have tied ourselves. We've made marriages, and that's not necessarily a legal certificate of marriage to between man and woman, but we made marriages with things we had no business becoming involved with. We have tied ourselves to ideologies or thoughts of principles that we should never have become involved with. And God wants a dedicated, a holy people, a people set apart for Himself. And He says He's a jealous God, and He will not share His glory with anyone, and that we cannot serve other gods and give glory to other gods if we're going to bear that name Christian. So we see these ties are hindering us and turning us back into earthly things again. In Genesis, in the 34th chapter, here's one that we need to look at. 34:3. Well, let's start at 1. Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she had bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. Now, you know that word lay. That means he had sexual relation with her. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel and spake kindly unto the damsel. He formed a soul tie. You see, fornication makes a soul tie. It's not a possibility. Fornication, every person that you've had sex with outside of marriage forms a soul tie. I don't care when it was. You say, well, it was before I was saved. You still got a soul tie with them, even then. And I dare say that when you form that soul tie, you formed a soul tie with every person she had sex with or he had sex with. Stop and think. That part of that soul was in that person. And when you got part of that soul, you could have easily have gotten part of every person. I think a lot of illness comes from this. From these soul ties. You mean, hey, I didn't get any germs from... No, you got a demon. People would rather say... Well, we'd rather have cancer than say I've got a demon. And cancer is a demon. But they don't know that. But they'd rather say I've got cancer than have a demon. It is such a stigma to them in their eyes. It's not a stigma, but it, to their eyes it is. And they would rather admit to something like that than to say that I have a demon. Glenn here, I believe, is the one that says you can... talk. One of them says you can, if it comes to your dignity or your demon, get rid of the demon, you can always get your dignity back. That's true. I had to walk over hardest steps ever made, I think, yesterday. I had to get up, walk over there, sit in a chair and let him do deliverance on me. I'm the pastor. You're not supposed to do things like that. Let me tell you, when those things get on you, you better get rid of them. I don't care who you are. And they were clouding my mind to where they wouldn't let me even stay awake in this building. Now, I don't know what was after me, but it was there and it was hard after me. And I needed some freedom, and he ministered it to me. Doc, praise God for him that he was here, that he ministered it to me, and I got set free from it. Got my head in the bucket. You, the preacher? Yes. And I don't care who you are. You have need to be set free from the things that harass you. If you don't, you say, well, I don't have these problems, though. The things that we have been involved in, what's to use the Ouija board? Somebody spoke of that today at the meeting over here today. The Ouija board. Say, well, when we were kids, we played with a Ouija board, but we didn't mean anything by it. We just played with it. Well, that's true. You didn't mean anything by it, but the devil did. He meant a lot by it, and when he did, he put a spirit in there. Oh, I can't say spirit. Yeah, I might as well call them what they are. I have to do that with those people we deal with out of that mission. He put a demon in there. He put a demon in you when you open the door. That's what we call it. If you sin, you open the door. And he put a demon. But that demon didn't take over. That occult demon did not begin to work. He didn't have enough strength to work. So he just sat there dormant. He sat there for years dormant. Something else came along, you opened the door again, something else came in, and they began to form a little group. And finally, the strongest one in the bunch took over. Whoever was the strongest in the bunch is the one that led it. He was the strong man. He became the center. And he made the others subservient unto him. Demons, yes, it's just like an army. And so many times you got a whole army in there. You remember the man that had a legion? A Roman legion was 6,000. I wonder how many we've got. That's another story, though. But that demons came in, and as he sat dormant, he gained strength and strength and strength all over the time. I said, you don't really see a demon from a Ouija board. The demon that came in was a homosexual demon. Now, you can understand this one really better. But then you'd say, I got a homosexual demon. I'm not homosexual. No. I don't practice homosexuality. No, you don't do that. But when that thing gains enough strength, you will, whether you want to or not. He will make sure that you do. Am I right? And this is how they work. They stay there dormant. And they just gain strength over time. We're dealing with demons that came into a girl. She's 30-some, 38 years old. They came in when she was 4. And it's a monster. And we've got many of them out, but there's one big monster left in there. That thing reverted back to a 4-year-old girl and talked to us. Let me tell you, people, we have only scratched the surface of what's going on in the spiritual world. We know very little about it. Simply because we've never decided to walk in the Spirit and let God minister to us the word of the spiritual word of truth. And I speak on this subject simply because there's nobody in our area that will do it. And God has laid it on my wife is the deliverance worker. Really, I'm not. She's the deliverance worker. I just simply stand behind her, but I believe it so strongly. And we didn't go into this freely. We didn't hunt this up. I tell everybody, my heel prints are right down the middle of that carpet, all the way from the door down to the pulpit, because I was drugged. I did not walk down there. I didn't want to go. And I had no thought of going. But you cannot refuse it when God lays it on you. You've got to go where God opens the door and He says, this is the way. And that's why I'm here today talking to you about soul ties and how important it is that we break these things off of us. Formed by fornication and immorality. You always get a soul tie. 1 Kings 11. Now we're on Solomon. This is that story that I thought I had. 1 Kings 11, beginning of verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Amorites, the Edomites, the Zidonians, and the Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after other gods. Solomon clave, past tense to clave unto these in love. Sexual desire drove him into it. And he had 700 wives and princes, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Amorites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Everybody that you have sex with, you pick up a soul tie. And the things that they do have a direct, and have done in their past, have a direct effect on you, and many times they even control you through these soul ties. Now, of course, I got a soul tie with that beautiful thing over there. This is a good soul tie. This is in marriage. And to show you in the scriptures in the second chapter of Genesis, in verse 24, he said, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave. There it is again. He's going to cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. I tell people we're so much one, we're beginning to look like one another. That poor thing's beginning to take on some of me. But we've been together a few years. We tell people, hey, we're so much at one with one another that she'll start preaching and she can stop in the middle of a sermon and I can just pick it up and go right on. That we have to study in different rooms for Sunday service. We alternate. We alternate service. Now, I'm telling you the truth now. You know I wouldn't lie to you. We alternate Sunday services. She's got Sunday morning, and I'll have Sunday night. Next week, I'll have Sunday morning, and she'll have Sunday night. And we alternate, and we each preach every Sunday. And I put a desk in the bedroom, and she's got one in the den. Because if we get close together and start studying, we'll end up with the same sermon every time. And many of the times, we still cross them over, and portions of them, even that far away. And she doesn't dare say anything to me about what she's going to preach. Because I pick up the rest of the sermon when she starts. She gives me a scripture. I can almost preach it. That's not me. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the tie that we have. That thing feeds me from what's in her. And I, because of that, I can see what happens when you have an evil soul tie with a person. What it does to you and what it does to me when I've got an evil one. Because I see what the good one does. Now, those things really happen to us. And it's happened that we have had to kind of preach it for one another a time or two. And she can start get up in the... It never fails if she's going to preach Sunday morning. I'll sit there and listen to her start her sermon, and I can almost go right with her everywhere she's going with the next scripture before she gets there. I can almost turn to it. Almost every time, I can turn to her next scripture. And the Lord has fed her this. It's not something we memorized by any means, because she gets fresh meat all the time. I mean, fresh food comes to her regular. Every week. And I want you to see that. I'm not bragging on us. I'm just wanting you to see what a soul tie will do. And this, it comes with what the word scriptures are talking about in love. And I'm talking about the pure love that God has placed in man and woman. And the concern for one another. Like in, even in the friendship between friends and brothers and this type of thing. So, if it works that way in a good soul tie, you know that it works the same in an evil soul tie. In Numbers 30, I better hurry on here if we want to finish this. Numbers 30. I catch myself, I'm almost trying to tell you where it is, where Numbers is. I have to do this with our people in the mission. They don't know the Bible. And they all bring a Bible, but they don't know the books. So I have to tell them Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. So if I try to tell you, it's because of my having to do this so much of the time with the people that we preach to. The 30th chapter, verse 1 says, "And Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. If any man vow a vow unto the Lord, and swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word, he shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth." And it goes on in the 4th chapter, and I'm not going to read all this because we all want to hurry on. I want some more to give you. But in the fourth verse, "And her father hear a vow," this is a girl or a young lady, a woman, "and her father hear the vow that and her bond wherein she hath bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace with her, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she has bound her soul shall stand." Verse 5, "And if her father disallow her in the day that he heareth not any of the vows or her bonds wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand, and the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed it. And if she had at all an husband when she vowed or uttered aught out of her lips wherewith she bound her soul, her husband heard it and held his peace at her in the day that he heard it, then the vow shall stand, and her bonds wherewith she has bound her soul shall stand." And then it goes on to say that if he heard it not, then it will not stand. I want you to see, with the words, we form a bond and a soul tie by, we are bound by our words. And our words bind us. Now, we're aware of this, but not to the extent, I don't think, that what happens to us inside and what's taking place when we make vows that we should not make, we bind ourselves with an ungodly tie that looses the enemy to attack us, that if we do not keep that vow, and many times simply because we vowed an ungodly vow would cause it a tie and make a bond with the enemy. So we have to be very careful of the words that we speak. We need to put a guard. Doc was preaching today, and he got on fasting. What does the word fast mean? Put a guard on your mouth. Now that is in relation, most of the time we take it in relation to food and eating, but it's also gift of the tongue, that we guard our words that we say. And we need to put, we need a guard on our mouth. We need it very bad because we have become very loose-tongued because we have not disciplined ourselves to the Word of God as how we should treat our fellow man and the things that... And we have allowed the enemy to control our thinking process, our mind process, to the degree that he slips in to where we are so... We have been tempered so to allow him to use us and our voice that we don't really notice the things that we're saying. And we just talk. We talk constantly. And we should put a guard on our mouth and watch what we say. So there's another area that we gain soul ties. Through words, also through promises, they bind us to another. They put a yoke on us. They put us in bonds and they tie us. Those are the things that if you look those words up there in those scriptures, the bonds that they're talking about, there's the meaning there. 1 Samuel 25, verse 29. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And this is concerning David and his walk with the Lord. And we need to bind ourselves with a soul tie to God, that we purpose to serve our God. And it comes even with the promise of the word of our mouth that we will serve. We need to, that's where we in the New Testament, it talks about that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And we promise in naming His name for our life and claiming that name, that we are a part of that family and that He lives within us, and yet we should walk according to the Word of God that prescribes how we shall conduct our life and act if we are going to name that name and walk in it. Yet we disregard that very, very easily. I mean, you know, our favorite saying is, God understands. I want you to know, God does understand. Not in the way that we think God understands, or the way that we said that. God understands that we're not careful enough to follow the Word. We don't have time to follow His Word. There are things more important. We have placed idols ahead of God. That's what He really understands. And we just won't do the Word of God. So we form evil ties here because we do not form a tie with our God. That's 1 Samuel 25:29. Colossians, New Testament, Colossians 2:24. No, there is no 2:24, is there? Got the wrong one, didn't I? 12:1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them in Laodicea, and for them for as many as I have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Talking about with like believers. That we're being knit together in love unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding through the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. And that great mystery, you know how Paul talks about it in the chapter before us, talking about this great mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we need to form this love tie, to really know our God, to serve Him, and to become at one with Him. Just like this marriage, we are married to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the marriage act of walking with the Lord, we form this tie and we serve Him in love exactly the same way in the natural, that we love one another and esteem one another better than the other in our actual marriage and life. So we need this with the Lord also. Now, in verse 18 of the same chapter, let no man beguile you with your reward in a voluntary humility and a worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all of the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increased with the increase of God. So they hear, again, we are knit to Jesus Christ again in this scripture, that we form this close tie with Him. And we need not go back through the word knit and see what all that means, but we need to really learn to stick with our Lord Jesus Christ in that meaning, in that sense of the meaning. We have strayed so far away from our principles of this word that God has laid down. And you know, God said He wouldn't change His word. He doesn't alter it one bit. And our excuses will not stand before God. He says, you're without excuse. Oh man, you're without excuse. You have the word. You have studied this word. You have heard it, had it preached to you. You have read it yourself. And you're without excuse. So we need to really look into this more closely. Now over in Ephesians, in the first chapter. No, I want chapter 4. I'm sorry. Chapter 4. Verse 16. But started at 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body under the edifying of itself. How? In love. God loves you. Did you really know? God really loves you. This morning, the brother Billy, that the word that he preached, he hit upon that thought that God is so concerned with our everyday life that when we stand upon this word right here, God will immediately move. I don't care what the world says. God will move when we have a believer activating this word. Things happen. It just blew my mind all of a sudden. I know that, and you know that. But to have it afresh, come in, fresh food today, that God loved me so much that if I will truly put that word to work in this body and stand on, be ye holy, for I am holy. Well, I ain't got any holiness. I've got to stand on His holiness. I've got to apply His holiness to me by being obedient to His word and letting His word change me, that He will move mightily. He said He'd move mountains. Stop and think about that. I mean, we think mountains. And any other situation that comes in your way between that would stand between you and your fellowship with the Lord. He'll move. Now that's not to say you won't have the tribulation. We're aware of that. But praise God, you've got the peace to go right on through it and to fight the good fight and know that the Lord is fighting for you and you're just His battle axe. That's all it is, and you can go on in peace. And I have found that the peace of God is the very greatest thing that I have received from God, I believe, because when the enemy hits me at the very hardest and the worst, I have God's peace. And I can go on. I'm not torn apart anymore. I used to fall to pieces. If anything broke the tranquility of my life, I'd just go all to pieces. But not anymore. Because I have a Savior who cares for me. And I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. So, the peace of God, when we have come to this tie with our Lord and Savior, is greater than anything that we can find in this world. Romans 1. Only got a couple more after this. We'll wind this down. Romans 1:24, he says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, even their women did change their natural use unto that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, when we get off in lust, and I don't care what kind of lust it is, and when I say lust, he's talking about sexual lust here, more than one kind of sexual lust. He's homosexuality, lesbianism, and whether it's fornication, or whether it's just lust for things. That word lust covers also things. Ungodly desire for prohibited things is lust. Things that are forbidden of God that we desire, that's lust. And we do that many times. And those things bring ties that bind. I think maybe that's what happened to me over there. I had some ties bound up that was clouding my mind through some things, and perhaps, I don't know which word they came from. God has not shown me that. But the pressures here. You see, here is the playground of the enemy, right here. This is where he works. This is where he operates. Now, he'll also put infirmity in the body, and he'll send something down into an organ or a portion of the body. But right here is his playground. He'll play with your imagination. He'll play with your mind. He does your will. He'll strip you of your emotions. And we have learned that this is the spot that we have to work at. This is where we work to get to free our people, because here is where he has gained his strength. This is why we need to call the soul back. I didn't really go into how much the soul is fragmented, because that's another teaching. And there's a lot of teaching on that now. But our soul is fragmented from many of these things that I've already talked about. And portions of our soul have been stolen from us. And every time he steals from you, he puts something in its place. Here's the bad part. He puts something in its place. It's called a demon. When he takes a portion of your soul, he leaves one there. We have a lady in our church, one I spoke of a few minutes ago, received all this stuff when she was 4 years old. I mean, it's horrible. I won't relate to you the things that happened to her. I don't even want it on tape. But all of this came in, and we got rid of most everything except that old big boy that kept hiding down in there. And he would keep throwing up something to hold his place in her. And he'd always kick out something. Oh, we'd get a big one out. I mean, when we'd get one out, we'd say, oh, praise God, she's free now. And then 2 months later, 3 months later, or 4 months later, she'd start again. He'd start acting again. He will strip her of her very thoughts. She could not remember what actually happened to her when all this took place. She didn't remember any part of it. And we had to make her go back through and let the Lord reveal it and make that demon release her mind enough that she could see what happened to her when she was a child. And once she looked at it, then she started getting rid of it. Unreal, isn't it? Psychiatrists work with minds. They're going to roll all these things together, these personalities that we have. This woman, you know, we cast 16 of them out of her, different personalities, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years ago. 16 different personalities out of that lady. We thought that was going to do it. But praise God, he's still working. God's still on his throne. All right, I'm going to tell you the next one. I don't think anybody's taking notes, but if you are, yeah, there are some. Deuteronomy 27:21 talks about bestiality. Here's the one that's going to get you. I got to do this. My wife's pointing to her clock over there. It's time to quit. Bestiality. I've got to read this. I'm sorry, I can't do it without reading it. Deuteronomy 27. Because the words themselves, is what I've got to have here. Verse 21 says, cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast, and all the people shall say, amen. What did he say? That does what with a beast? Did he say have sex? Does that mean have sex? That's covered, but that's not what it means, the total meaning of it. It means to lay down with. Look it up. It means to lay down with a beast, lay down by the side of it, to sleep. How many of you sleep with a cat on your bed or a dog on your bed? Cursed are you. You lay down with a beast to sleep. Now, you look that up in Strong's, and that's what that says. If you lay down by it to sleep. You mean I've got a soul tie or a demon? I didn't say it. That's what's written in the Word. And if you look up the Word, that's what the Word means. So we need to start breaking these things. We're not going to have time this afternoon to break them. So we're going to use one more scripture and quit. Genesis 50. And we'll do these. We'll break them at another meeting. We won't leave it hanging. Verse 10 says, "And they came to the threshold of Atad, which is beyond Jordan, and there they mourned with a great and a very sore lamentation. And he made a mourning for his father 7 days." Now, when a person dies, we're sad, and that's only natural. We should be sad. But do you know we form a soul tie with dead people by holding on to them for months and for years? I know people that still have not turned their loved ones loose, and they've been in the grave for maybe 2 or 3, 4 years, and they're still holding on to them, trying to have that relationship and fellowship with a person that has gone on many times to be with the Lord. We don't know where they are, and God didn't tell us, but they're departed. And with dead, we form soul ties with the dead, and we should. We should love them, we should mourn for them, and release them. I'm not going to use that word to go on with your life. I have somebody that tells me that all the time. That's why she wants deliverance. She wants to go on with her life. No, we have to go on with our Lord. But we should release those that we have loved. That's not to say that we didn't love and didn't honor them. But we should not hold on to them like that, because it hinders us and we form a tie with them. It's going to be a deadly thing with us if we don't get rid of it. Heavenly Father, bless your word. These are not my words, Father. That's your scriptures. If I've said aught that caused confusion, clear it up for us, Lord. If I've said something that was wrong, remove it. Wipe it away. Take it out of our memory. Don't let it stand. Correct us, Lord. Correct me if I have gone astray in your scriptures. For we desire to be a vessel of honor unto you and to present your word in a manner and true word that will bring life. So we just praise you and we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, you want me to do it? Okay. Heavenly Father, we come now and I ask that for every person here who has heard these scriptures, that have had a portion of their soul removed or has formed soul ties through the things that were preached, that you would break that tie. I break it in the name of the Lord Jesus. I ask you from heaven to do the work that I speak here on earth, to break that tie with those things that we have named here in the name of Jesus. I cast it asunder. It will no longer have a seal or a tie to the person here on earth, that we break it and separate it from us, and it will not bring any harm or any opening to it for any demon to use against us in the name of the Lord Jesus. It will not control our mind, our will, nor our emotions in the name of the Lord Jesus. I break and cast it asunder. Father, I ask that you restore our soul from these things that we've been involved in, whether we've done it deliberately or ignorantly, Father. I repent of those things in my life, and I ask everybody here right now to repent from the things that they know they have been involved in, but ask that you grant repentance from those things that we don't know about, that we have been involved in and were not aware of it when we were, but that you restore our soul from those situations that we opened up to have a portion of our soul removed. Father, I ask that you send the angels to break the earthen jars wherever those portions of our soul are, or where they're hid, or wherever they are, in the name of Jesus, that you release them so that they can be returned to us. And I command that portion of that is within us that does not belong there to leave now in the name of the Lord Jesus. I cast you out. Loose them. Loose this people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I command you to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I ask that you send your angels and cleanse our building, our church, all the portions of this building, for every demonic force that's been loosed here, that's come out from any person, to clean it, that they'll not hamper nor hinder in any manner. I send them to the pit, Lord. I think Jesus left that pit open. I send them to the pit. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, bound that they'll not return to hinder or go back into any person here or to go home with any person here. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I praise you and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www. LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.